Well, this morning we're here with Janna and Amir. Welcome all. Great to have you on the couch with us today and an opportunity to catch up and to chat a bit about what it means to be people who are living intriguing and questionable lives, but also in the context of Amir, a gifting in evangelism and what that looks like. The fact that as husband and wife in one family, you have both aspects of what we've been talking about. I'm curious to know how that works. So, as we've been talking over the last few weeks, and we've considered this idea of that dual aspect of evangelism, the gifted evangelist who's called to be clear and to be bold in the proclamation of the gospel, and us mere mortals who are called to living intriguing and questionable lives. Janna, how do you cope with that? How does that work for you guys as a couple in a family situation?
I've had to learn how to cope with it. Because I'm not necessarily a people person. Mm-hmm. And sometimes Amir gets caught up in conversations. Well, all the time. He pretty much gets caught up in conversations, whether it's over the phone or at church or out in the street or just shopping. And the last time, you know, you don't really want to see anyone and then all of a sudden he's in a conversation. You're trying to rush through things. But I guess it's just trusting God and reminding yourself that God's doing something here and it's going to mean everything to that one person.
Mm-hmm. Mia, what about you? How do you find that works in the context of a family?
I guess it's sometimes it's good for me because I do sometimes, you know, that say things what I shouldn't say. So Janna, she's the one, she tells me, hey, you shouldn't say that. And then I realize that, that was something that I shouldn't say this, but it's working really well for us mm-hmm. as a couple, because she's kind of held me accountable not to cross the boundary.
But it's like every couple, you know, it's not just you get married and boom, happily mm-hmm. ever after. Mm-hmm. It's a constant learning and growing, and that's what love is, and that's how we learn mm-hmm. about each other, but we find Jesus in it as
Amen.
Well.
Amen. That's right.
Mm-hmm. So what are some of those challenges that you see specifically in your relationship? I don't mean, we're not asking for all your dirty laundry here, but in the sense of as you work together as a couple with an evangelistic heart, what are some of the challenges you see in that?
I think one of the things is they're trying to manage the time. Mm-hmm. Because that's a big challenge. Because sometimes you don't know when somebody's coming to your house or you're going to meet somebody who really needs Jesus. And by saying that, it's like you're trying to be sensitive to Holy Spirit. It's not like every day you just go and you started to talk to people. It's only time when you feel that God is calling you. God, Holy Spirit is saying to you, preparing you to say something or talk to that person. And I think it's a managing of time and also, you know, that asking, you know, Holy Spirit, what do you want me to do there? How you want me to respond?
Mm-hmm. Janna, what about for you?
Yeah, pretty much the same thing, I think. But I guess being not gifted as an evangelist, I've learned, and obviously God uses all the gifts in us when it comes to time. And I think it's more often now than I used to be, even though being overseas and everything. But, yeah, I've been reading Acts this recently, and just with Peter, he said he saw his opportunity and he addressed the crowd. And I guess being sensitive to the Holy Spirit, hearing his voice, like when you're having a daily conversation, listening for that little niggle and then taking that opportunity. And it's hard in a way because often I have to ask God for boldness because it's not an easy thing for me, and especially in the work that I do, there's boundaries. But still, just asking God to take that boldness, and more often than not, well, I think all the time, they come out and that person has just seen a bit of Jesus and just received a bit of Jesus or a picture of him. And
it's like, you know, the one of the time we had, we just came from went back home from church, and it was quite big Sunday. So when we went there, and there is a father and three children walking on the street, and suddenly this little girl, she decided to go into the inner garden. She ran into it, and he started to call her name, and she says, "Don't go there, this is not our house." But I said to him, and I said, "Hey man, it's okay. It's all right, let them play. If it is okay with you." He said, "If it is okay with you." And suddenly God just opened a door, and we started to talk about, you know, God, and I introduced myself, he introduced himself. So she just provided really, you know, that great opportunity. She started to talk to kids, and I had started to talk to their dad. And just a half an hour, it's God who prepared heart, but it's like he gave us this opportunity where we need to be sensitive what God is saying to us. So this person, he, after half an hour, he gave his life to Jesus and got a Bible.
And coming into a conversation, like, you don't have to convince anyone.
No, no.
It's not our job to convince. That's God's job and the Holy Spirit. We just take the opportunity, whether it be a smile, whether it be just a word or anything, to do that. And often I think, well, for me, I've had to learn to be approachable and to be humble and just to be honest. As Christians, that's not an easy thing to do because you're supposed to look perfect because you're Christians. And that's how you're raised. Often, you know, you can't show that you've got weaknesses and this sort of thing. But just learning to be humble and honest and say where you really have difficulties and struggles. And then you're approachable and people can see, hey, actually, you know, God has changed that in their life, or they struggle just like me. Maybe I can, you know, maybe I do need, you know, I can approach Jesus, or maybe I can have this thing that they're talking about.
So really it's about being authentic and being genuine in who you are.
Amen.
Allowing them, allowing others just to see that you're regular, normal people.
Yeah. That's right. That's right. And that is all about, you know, be real. You don't need to hide who you are. You don't need to, you know, that say more than what you want to. Like, whatever Holy Spirit is saying to you, be sensitive and say that, and then leave it to God. Like Peter, he explained everything, and he tells them, and then he leave it to them. It's your, you know, that choice now. And then he got the response from people that, hey, tell us what to do. We want to know God. And what should we do? And then you see the church is growing. Then you see God is working through. And I think every single person in the body of Christ is really gifted. We all are gifted, just like Paul said, that, you know, that just like body, you, every part is, you know, that you have every single part is working for a specific reason. And that's the same way he saying that you, whoever, somebody is praying role of hands, somebody is praying role of eyes. So every single person in the body of Christ gifted. Nobody is useless. So this is what, you know, I really, you know, that see, you know, that when we started to, you know, that here in our church, we see people, they are so gifted. And they just need encouragement, just like somebody encouraged me to, you know, then understand Jesus, know Jesus. So I think that's where, you know, that we really need to be, all of us need to be sensitive and say, all right, Father, that's what you want me to do, even though it's hard, even though it's scary sometimes. And I tell you, you know, that honestly, there was time when I just felt in my workplace, you know, that I'm just, what I'm doing here. What is this all about? But God encouraged me.
I guess it's like going back to Acts 3 again. When the members of the council were amazed, they saw the boldness of Peter and John, which they received from the Holy Spirit. For they could see that they were ordinary men with no special training in the scriptures. They also recognized them as men who had been with Jesus. And that's all I want people to see, is that I don't have any special training. I have experiences that God has given me. Everyone has their experiences that God has given them specifically for them to minister to others, to be the fragrance of Christ to others. And people recognize that we have been with Jesus. And that's what they're looking for. They're looking for hope in this hopeless world.
It's a great picture, isn't it? That people recognize that we've been with Jesus.
And amen.
That's what
that's right.
is that initial attraction
yep.
to him, is that mm. sense that mm. they see him in us.
Mm.
Yeah. Mm. There's obviously some challenges. Are there things that we feel we need to be careful about? So I guess, Jana, from your perspective as one of us regular people, the things that you need Amir to be careful with in the way he responds and presents the gospel, and I guess the same question is going to go back the other way. For you as a gifted evangelist, mm. one who's specifically called, are there things that we ordinary people need to be careful about in as we create that environment for God to work?
Thank you. You go first.
Me?
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess it's the same thing we've been talking about. Like with Amir, he's had to learn a different culture.
Mm-hmm.
And some cultural things are quite different to the mm-hmm. culture that he knows. So we've talked about different things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess just not forcing yourself upon people, mm-hmm. just being real and just being humble and just being honest about who you are
mm-hmm.
and even the mistakes you've made and how God has brought you through, not that you focus on them, but just like we said, you be approachable and just be honest. And, yeah, like in the videos we've been watching online about how not to evangelize, forcing it down people. Mm. But that's just common sense, I think.
Mm.
Yeah. It's just be you, because mm. God has made you to be the fragrance of Christ, that person who you were served at the shopping center. Or,
mm. And I think it has really come back to, you know, that when you really see throughout whole Bible, especially from New Testament, You see, they approach people with the love and respect,
mm.
not with the judgment, mm.
Mm.
not with the judgmental sort of ideas, but with the respect and love. And what they showed through their teaching or preaching, when they were talking to people, actually they care about it. Not just here to convert them,
mm.
but here to talk with them about the, you know, sometime, you know, I talk to people and it was all about, you know, that value of your life, how God value you, not about, hey, I want you to come to church. It's not about that. It's about God value your life. And he just sharing with them and explaining to them, hey, why I'm sharing with you, because God cares about you. Because God loves you, not because, you know, I want you to come and become a member of my church. No,
mm-hmm.
Because Jesus didn't die for us to go to church.
Yeah.
He died for us so we can have a relationship with God.
Mm-hmm.
So this is, I found we sometimes, we need to be really careful, because we are not looking for membership. No, we are not. We are looking for people to engage with God.
Mm-hmm.
To know their Father, know their Creator, because this is end of the day, he is their Father too.
Mm-hmm.
And I say to people only, you know, those who are not Christian yet, I always say to them, difference between you and me, it's like, you know, that we are home and you are not home yet.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the only difference, but you are still child of God. God cares about him.
Mm-hmm.
And that speaks very much into what we were talking about a couple of weeks ago, when we're saying, you know, as we need to give an answer, be ready to give an answer for the hope we have, that we do that with gentleness and respect to start with. But we then also, you know, we don't preach the gospel at people. We just simply tell them about Jesus. We don't try to recruit them to the church. We simply tell them about the purpose and the hope that God gives us as we're in a relationship with him.
Yeah.
That it all comes back to this idea of God desiring relationship with us, rather than there being these expectations that come out of that.
Mm. Yep. But as Christians, being raised in a Christian church, that's hard, because you do have in the back of your mind a sin scale. You know, and you do have in the back of your mind this separation.
Yep.
And it's just a working on it and reminding of yourself and letting God remind you that there's no sin scale, you know. Yep. And who's to say that we would be any different to a person in that situation?
Yeah.
Mm. And that if we are judging them as harsh than we, then is God's death on the cross and resurrection worth nothing? Because we are no different to them. Our sin is no different to them. We are all just saved by his grace and his loving kindness. You know?
It all comes back to love.
Yeah.
It is all about love. And I remember one, we were in Pakistan, and this man, we were there for something, and anyway, it was lunchtime. We decided to go in a market and have lunch, and then come grab whatever we need to buy and come home. And while we were in this hotel, and this man, he's a beggar, and he was sitting there, and we just felt four of us, God wants us to go and talk to him. So we asked him. We said that we like to, you know, pay for your meal. And he looked at us, and he thought that we will give him money, and but it was not about money. So we asked him, so what's tell us about yourself. And he started to tell, you know, that how his wife, she left him, and his children, they left him. No, he's on drugs. And we were just so, you know, that we started to talk about God's love, how much God loves him, how much Jesus loves him. And this man, he started to cry. And he is a Muslim. And maybe the first time he ever heard in his life that God loves him.
Mm.
And he started to cry. And then he gave his life to Jesus. So we left him there with this. And he, as we were walking on the street, he ran after us. And he said that, tell me, in which name I should pray. And it was, we just started to, you know, that we were in tears, that seeing God's power, God's love, how easily God's love can change people. And I think this is what you're saying. What should we be careful about? And I think this is come back, you know, that we are not to call to preach with anger or, judging other people, but to preach gospel in love.
Mm-hmm.
With kindness, and be real, and tell them, "Hey, I'm same person. I'm just like you.
Yeah.
I'm not different than you."
Yep. One of the ways we've been talking over the last couple of weeks about how we demonstrate, I guess, love for people in real sense is hospitality.
Mm.
What sort of a role does hospitality play for you two as a couple, as a family, as you engage with sharing Jesus with people?
Our house is always full of people and it's often a mess. So it's another thing I've had to learn, which is tricky. He would just bring people home. He'll bring people in off the street for a cup of coffee. It's like, have you not seen my house? Have you not seen the bathroom? And even people who come to church here, they've been invited back to our house, and it's like, you know, you're going to have to just overlook. And it was shocking that day. It's like, you're just going to have to come in. And they got there before we did. Because we went to pick up lunch and they got to our house before we did. And Mum and Dad let them in the house. It's like, oh, no. But I guess that's God's love again. I think, you know, when you do go, you know, you just have to get over yourself, I think, a bit. So that's another thing.
Yeah.
So there's always people coming and going, barbecues. And
and I think this is the one of the main thing, hospitality, inviting people. Mm-hmm. Sitting with them at the dinner table and having a chat and talking to each other. It just, you cannot compare with anything else.
Well, the early church did it, didn't they?
There's a way in which, you know, the barriers and the things that divide us get broken down so easily and so readily when we're sitting around a table sharing a meal together, sharing coffee together.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like all of the barriers just fall away, and suddenly people start to open up and share at a level that they probably hadn't intended to, but allows that opportunity to relate on a much deeper level, doesn't it?
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just so amazing how God works in all these areas and little things, just little things. And that make big difference.
Excellent. All right. As we start to wrap this up, I want to ask Amir of you, as one who's gifted, what do you need from the rest of us to be able to do what God has called you to do most effectively? How do we support and help you? What do you need from us?
I think one of the main thing is, biggest thing what I'll say It's accept me the way I am, who I am, and pray for me. So may I have more boldness, and I speak what Father has given me, what Father wants me to do. May I do exactly what Father wants me to do. And I think this is the one of the great thing that church was always praying for apostles. And this is a strength of the church when they are praying. And I can tell you, you know, that if these people in the church, my brothers and sisters, all of you guys not praying for me, I can tell you that I would be gone long time ago. Because I know that some of the things happen with me at work or somewhere else. I know that I could not do without, you know, the church. Mm-hmm. Because I know that there's something, you know, that when you are praying, and God, the Holy Spirit one day say, you know, that when you're praying, actually you're creating things. You are allowing me to create things when you are praying. And that's what I understand and I believe. When you are praying for me, God is sending His angels. God is sending, you know, support for me. And this is, I believe, the one of the things that church can do more. Pray for those people, not just for evangelists, but those people who are ministry. Mm-hmm. They are pastors, or prophet, or apostle, or whoever they are. Pray for them, because we do need your support every single day.
Yep.
And that's how you can do for us.
Sure.
And also, you know, other thing, you know, that remember that you are gifted. Everyone in the body of Christ is gifted. And never, never, ever think that you don't have any gift. Because this is the body of Christ. Everyone is gifted.
Yep. Yep. Mm-hmm. Cool. Jana, for you, as you know, you're like me, I'm not a gifted evangelist either. So, you know, as for us regular people, what do you feel you need from the gifted ones? And it might be more than just an hour's notice for somebody coming over for lunch, so you've got a chance to clean the house up or something. But is there something that you can identify that the gifted evangelist can do that actually encourages, supports, helps as a regular believer who's trying to be questionable and intriguing?
Yeah, I guess just like what you said, a little warning does help. Just for my own sanity. No, but even then, you get to a place where you learn just saying, God, it's about you. It's not about the house. It's not about me. It's not even about, because people come in, they're just grateful to be, to be in there and have that relationship. So I guess it's, you know, in prayer as well.
Yeah, and it's worth somebody, you know, if it all, everything what you do, it's worth when somebody give his life to Jesus.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Fantastic. Well, hey, thank you so much for taking some time to sit down and have a chat and I guess giving us a little bit of an insight into not only your family life but how you function as a couple.
Thank you.
The way that you, I mean, we sit in awe of you at times and the stories we hear of how God is using you, and we're really grateful that you're part of our church family, that we can learn from you and we can observe you in action as you model for us what it means to be both a gifted evangelist and a questionable and intriguing believer, and how that goes together, and you know, to have that in a married couple who just demonstrate that for us so well is really encouraging. So thank you so much. Let me pray for you as we finish up today. Thanks. Lord, we just want to say thank you for Jana and Amir. Thank you for who you have gifted them to be. Thank you for the way you have called them together, and Lord, their whole story of how they came to meet and you brought them together as husband and wife is an incredible story, and we just give you praise and honor for that. Thank you that you have complemented each other so well in their relationship. Father, thank you for the boldness that you've given Amir, and Father, we pray and continue to pray for him that you would continue to give him that boldness that he needs to step out and to trust you and to speak and to proclaim and to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with those he meets. Father, thank you for Jana and for her flexibility, her willingness to support and encourage Amir to be hospitable and to allow people into her home, to provide that environment that allows for relationship to happen and for conversation to start and to for people to come to know Jesus in that context of her home and in their family. Father, we pray that you would help her as she provides that space. Help her to not be too worried about what the house looks like, all those sorts of things, as she supports Amir and as he supports her in that. Father, we just thank you so much for the demonstration that they are of how your body works together, complementing and supporting and encouraging each other, and ultimately bringing about those who come to know Jesus as a result of what they do. Father, we pray your blessing over them in their giftedness and in their witnessing, but Lord, more than that, we pray your blessing over them as a family, that you would continue to grow them and encourage them and draw them together in you for your kingdom's sake, for your glory and for your honor. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks, guys. Really appreciate your time.
Thank you very much for having us.
Pray God's blessing over you.
Amen.
Well done.
Thank you.